Donna, there we go. The John Curley, Sherry Elliker show, starring Sherry Elliker. How does it make you feel when I say that?
I love it.
Yeah, a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility.
I know.
Special guest star, Sherry Elliker. Donna, get ready! Reading this report and my brain started to hurt and I was like, oh, I gotta call Todd Myers. It's Todd. The man who doesn't match his music. One of the most boring but lovable guys I know. We go down to the caboose every once in a while, Sherry, and I think he's the only person in the caboose that's ever ordered a... What do you order? What is it you drink? Myers?
If only you could see me dancing right now.
No bull. What is your drink at the caboose? Is it a Manhattan?
I like a good Manhattan, yeah. And they make a good one, so there you go.
All right. Oh, okay, all right. Well, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pantser. All right, so listen, the story comes out, and I said, I got to call Todd on this one. Budget surplus pushes states' financial reserves to all-time high. So we printed money, and then we gave it to the states after the government locked down and destroyed the U.S. economy, throwing 40 million people out of work, causing millions of people to lose hope and hundreds of thousands of people to overdose. But that's not why we have you on. The reason we have you on is because if you go through the Pew thing and you look all the way down, Sherry, the map that I'm looking at here, it's a lot of pretty colors, blue, dark blue, light blue. There's only one state that's got an orange color. What state is that?
As I look at the map, that state is WA, the state of Washington.
So, Todd, how is it that we don't have any money in our rainy day fund?
So, because the legislature in past years wasn't setting aside money for a rainy day, which is ironic in Washington, the voters passed a constitutional amendment to create a rainy day fund that could only be used under certain circumstances, generally with bipartisan agreement, that it was for economic crises. Yeah. So guess what? We've been in an economic crisis the last couple of years. And so what budget writers at the state did is that they took the money out of the rainy day fund and put it into sort of a fund on the, you know, sort of on the side that didn't have the restrictions that the rainy day fund did. So what you see in that is that you see the legislature having basically closed the rainy day fund bank account and put it to the side. And it's sort of like, you know, taking your money out of your IRA and putting it into your front pocket.
Ah, there you can use it.
Exactly. And so even if you, so what some people say is, well, that's not really accurate because we still do have some reserves that we can call on. And as the Pew report notes, even if you account those reserves, we're still almost at the bottom in terms of, you know, nationwide. We're still very bad, but there are no restrictions. And so if you say, no, I still have a reserve fund, I still have a retirement account, it's just in my front pocket instead of my IRA now, right? People might raise a few eyebrows about whether how serious you were about using that for retirement, and that's what's going on in Washington State right now.
So, Todd, how does the rainy day fund get funded, and does it exist, or is it just it's just sitting there, right? I mean, but how does money get into it?
There's money allocated by the legislature to put into the rainy day fund, so they put it in there. But it is, and there is a recommended percentage that they are supposed to put in there every time. But this time, like I said, what they did is because there was an economic crisis, there was the opportunity for them to, the rules allowed them to spend from it. And what they did is they basically swept all of it and set it aside.
Ugh. By the way, Washington Policy Center, where you do great work, the Washington Policy Center keeps track of the Washington State Emergency Order. This is the giving the governor power to do absolutely everything the governor would like to do. We are at, and they do a little counter here, 803 days, 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 35 seconds. So I don't know how many other states are still in the emergency, but what kind of powers does this give our governor to spend money and to be able to just basically be the king of the state?
So I think we are one of, I can't remember now, three or four. There's only three or four states that are still under emergency rule. Many of those other states, though, have some restrictions on the governor. Our emergency powers has very few. Now, he cannot just write his own budget. The legislature did write a budget, and that's how this the thing we previously talked about occurred. It was the legislature, not the governor, per se. But he can do a lot of regulatory. He can add regulations, and he can remove regulations, and that has been the problem, is that there's been no legislative oversight about the regulatory decisions that he has made for the last 803 days.
At what point do you give up these controls? Because the legislators on the Republican side, you talk to somebody like Jim Walsh, they're basically powerless to be able to stop this thing. So the clock there at the Washington Policy Center will keep ticking.
So the question is, when do they get rid of it? Is either when the legislature does something, and the legislature this year had the opportunity to do something. There were bills. And in fact, there was even a bill on the floor to be voted on, and the Democrats pulled it at the last second. Speaker Jenkins, she pulled it at the last second because I think she was worried it was going to pass or something. I don't know. You can ask her. The other issue is that, so the governor was asked, when are you going to rescind the executive orders? And he said, I will do that, you know, when the time is right, and that time is not now. So we don't. He hasn't set a goal. He hasn't said, here's what we're trying to achieve and here are the metrics to measure it. He just says, I have decided that the time is not now. And so that's what he told the Crosscut Festival last weekend or the weekend before.
I see. Well, don't forget, there's only one person that can save people's lives, and it's Governor Jay Inslee, as according to Governor Jay Inslee.
Yeah, I mean, he quite literally said that, and said that there is only one person who can do this, and it's the governor of the state of Washington. So it sort of reminded me when Donald Trump said, only I can solve it. So that's kind of where we are, unfortunately. And there's a lot of costs to be paid for that. The regulations are having an impact on Washington's economy and people's lives and things like that. But we don't have a lot of oversight.
We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done.
Do you think that the average person is aware that this is going on, and if they...
Sure, there are no average people listening to this show. But
do you think the really smart Mensa members that are listening to this show understand that this is happening? And if they do, are they outraged about it? Do they have any interest whatsoever in contacting their representatives saying this has got to stop, it has implications? Or is it just one of those things that people have just said, yeah, well, you know, what are we going to do?
I think that there are a number of reasons that people are not interested. One, it is a very complicated issue. People don't understand the implication, what regulations he's adding or not. I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are doing okay. I think in King County, there's a lot of people who are able to work from home, who are prosperous and who are doing okay and don't feel the impact, of these. And so therefore it's not on their, you know, the top of their list.
Right. Look,
the simple fact is that a lot of people are trying to live their lives, right? They want their kids to go to school. They have lots of problems. They, you know, the traffic or whatever else in their lives. They're trying to just live their lives. And if I come to them and say, what you ought to be worried about is Jay Inslee's emergency order, they're going to look at me like I am a geek, which I am.
You are.
And wonder why that's more important than all of the other problems that they're facing in their lives. And to be honest, it's probably not for them. So it's very, you know, the reason that there are people like me is because we, you know, raise awareness, hopefully, about these sorts of things, which, although the impact may not be apparent in your day-to-day lives, they do have a corrosive effect, and they do harm people, even if it's not readily apparent.
And slowly but surely, as they turn the heat up, I smell there's a frog for dinner. So that's what we end up with. All right, Todd. See you at the caboose.
I will order you a Manhattan next time.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Todd Myers from Washington Policy Center coming by and making the complicated easily understood. Appreciate the time there. By the way, Congress is finally going to decide. First time they've decided to have an open hearing on UFOs in 50 years. I saw a piece, I think it was Greenwald from The Guardian, had pointed out that the 9 pages that the government did release to the public were so heavily redacted that they'd left out all the really, really good stuff that they've been following about this UFO stuff. So there's looking at people kind of yawned through it. But there's things in there. I don't know if it's going to come out in this public hearing, but for the first time in 50 years, they will have people come in there and testify as to what might possibly be out there. I'm Art Bell. Somewhere in the high desert.
The Indiana Democrat Andre Carson says that he thinks that UFOs are a national security risk. And you're right, this Pentagon report that came out really didn't do anything. It was very anticipated. Everybody was kind of wondering what it was going to be. There was a bunch of, 143 aerial objects that were reported between 2004 and 2021. But there wasn't much in it. But there is this classified version of it. And they're thinking there probably will be a lot more interesting details in that if that can, if people can get access to that. But, they want to, or this Congressman Andre Carson wants to have this really discussed. He says it's the first time we need to really break the cycle of excessive secrecy and speculation with truth and transparency, so we can maybe find out what some of these reports have said and what people have actually seen.
Coast to Coast AM. I wonder if it's going to sound like an entire Coast to Coast AM thing. First-time caller west of the Mississippi. Go ahead. Here's a retired Navy aviator talking about the UFOs that he saw.
It's a clear blue sky. There's no wind. And you see this tic-tac. It's just this white object that's randomly moving around. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. I remember telling my backseater, I said, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm a little weirded out. It's not a helicopter. It doesn't have rotor wash. There's no propulsion. There's no wings. It rapidly accelerates and disappears. Like, poof, gone. Weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
West of the Rockies, go ahead.
Thank you, Art. Do you believe in that?
Who, Art Bell?
No, the idea of aliens or life on other planets or just any of that. Are you interested? Do you believe it? What are your thoughts?
I believe it. I think, why not? Why can't there be something else out there? Sure, why not? And why this guy, these Navy aviators, these aren't guys that are just some, kooky guy sitting around eating cold soup out of a can in some back alley somewhere, scratching at himself and wondering whether or not that's a lice or whether
that's a lot scurvy. Of detail.
I'm painting pictures.
Yeah, okay. That's a lot. Cold soup.
I didn't tell you what kind of soup
himself.
He was eating. Yeah. Right. But no, the guy, and he turned to his backseater, whoever that is. I guess that's Goose. And he said, hey, what is that? That thing's giving me the creeps down there. Enough people have seen enough stuff that why couldn't there be some? How completely narrow-minded and small-minded we would be to think this is it. Doesn't get any better than this, than a 7 days all-inclusive sandals resort. Sure, that's good, but there's other parts of the world. There's other parts of the universe. I saw the front page of the Wall Street Journal today that they found a black hole or a Milky Way or something or other. It's a big, big place. Sherry, it just goes to show you want to deny it because you don't want to think, oh, we're dominating 3-6 in King County, Pierce County. And we have a whole nother, thing.
Universe.
Quarks or whatever those way out there we got to dominate. Tom and I used to be number 72 most popular show in Nigeria. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Congratulations. That is an accomplishment.
We didn't know why, but somebody had sent us this thing, and there we were, the Tom and Curly show. And so whenever we did a story about Nigeria, we always had to be very careful because we didn't want to, reveal that it might have been into a corrupt government or something, because we didn't want to jeopardize our position as the 72th most popular podcast in Nigeria. But Listen, why couldn't there be something else out there? I think it would be certainly completely change Christianity. It would change the world as religion. It would really give everybody something else to think about. And it would broaden everything out. Then all of a sudden, things might seem smaller. You might not get old washed up actors gluing their ass to a Starbucks counter. Everybody would have a chance to talk about something else. Imagine The View. They'd be going nuts on it on The View.
Yeah, I just don't know that we'll get to any of that information in our lifetimes. I mean, it just seems so, you know, with all the work that they've already done and the things that they've done, other than seeing spacecraft or what appears to be spacecraft, I don't know that we're ever going to get to see what life is and those types of things on other planets. I think that's many, many, many eons away.
Hmm. Okay.
It'd be fun if we did. I'd love the idea. I think it'd be great. Yeah, I mean, why not? To see what, you know, to expand our own minds and expand our own perspective of what life is. That'd be amazing.
You know what? It would be so much more work for Mickey, because then all of a sudden it's like she got traffic on 167 out of Kent, and then there's like some backup in somebody's
spaceship.
See this? Yeah, somewhere. I was going to use the name of a planet that sounds like a part of a human body, but I thought, you know what? I'm better than that. Sherry would have done that, but I'm better than that. I'm better than that. All right?
But you would have gotten a big laugh from me if you did it.
Oh!
Biggest laugh ever.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, but I didn't.
I know. All right. So you made me, you know, you could have made me happy, but that's okay. Don't worry about me. I'll be over here if you need me.
Didn't they find organisms, though, on like one of the planets that kind of proved that there was?
That there was water at some point up in Mars has something, right? And then they found some other stuff. I heard that Saturn's rings are fading or something like that. So
keep that
in mind. Oh, yeah. And for those kids that are working on those science projects, Venus doesn't count anymore. Remember that? They got rid of Venus? Venus.
I think that's Pluto.
Pluto went away.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Out.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, Venus is strong.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Here we go. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text as well. Let's get rid of the text line. 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. Chris, I just sent you the wrong video, so don't write. What is that about? I'll send you the right one later. Okay. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I didn't know if I mentioned this or not, Sherry, but they've got 16 locations. They got 50. They've been around for 52 years. And I always suggest this. Not only anybody's ever taken me up on the idea, but for like summer break, visit all 16 of them with the kids. Go to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. See the hard men and women working there at Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
That's a nice field trip.
I must have made a little Freudian slip there by switching around two words that should not be switched around regarding the hardworking men. Okay. How many friends do you need? How many friends do you really, really need? My father's rule on friends was, this is a long time ago with inflation, I don't know what the number is now. We're sitting around one time at the having dinner, and I said, what do you consider, because we were talking about friends, what do you consider to be a friend? And this is probably 1978, 79. My father had said, I consider a friend somebody I can ask for $5 and never feel as if I have to pay the person back.
Wow, that's an interesting way to describe friendship. Define it with money a little bit. You all right?
No, I was drinking something. Okay. Sorry, it's water I'm out. Oh my God! Yes, it is an interesting way to describe a friendship. Yeah, that you could like, you know, you say, "Hey, Ernie, can I have $5 from you? I'm a little short. I need to, you know, tip or whatever, pay the pump." And then you see Ernie like 2 weeks later. It's like, oh, God, there's Ernie. Quick, hide me. Put me in a big basket full of dirty towels or something, you know. It's not like that. Just you can see Ernie again and not feel any kind of twinges of guilt of not paying him back the $5. That was what a friend was.
I think if you were to make that a more modern a different number today, it might make a little more sense. So, for instance, if that was in 1978, $5 probably $50 now. So it's somebody. So $50, you know, that you wouldn't have to hide from Ernie.
$50 is a lot.
Okay, 20.
I think 20. 20, you'd be like, hey, Ernie, hey, how you doing? He would be like, oh, where's that 20, Sherry? The old goat. Say, quick, hide me in a pile of towels. So how many friends do you really need? This is the piece that always comes up all the time. And the answer is?
The answer is about 5 or 6. That's supposed to be the ideal number of friends. 30 years ago, about 3% of Americans said they have no close friends. That's up to 12% now. And with the pandemic, a lot of people lost a lot of their friends. They lost touch with people. But there's this interesting thing. This psychologist in England said that humans are only able to maintain about 150 connections at once. And that includes everybody that you know, right? So yes, you start with a small inner circle and you keep growing out to include coworkers, associates, things like that. But that inner circle, the psychologist says about 5 or 6 people. That's what you really need. But if you don't have any friends, the most bang for your buck would be to at least have one friend, if that's, you know, if that's all you can really do. Having more friends allows you to experience more things. So you've got a friend that likes golf. You got a friend that likes music. You got a friend that likes pizza. So that way it sort of expands parts of yourself. So you don't have the same people over and over again doing
the
same
things. What was the third friend? Likes pizza? That was it? What'd you say?
Pizza.
So one of your friends likes golf. So you play golf. But then the third friend. So you're dropping all the way down to, what do you like about this guy? Hey, he likes pizza. I like pizza.
Okay, so maybe just food.
Really, like Sherry?
No, they like to go out to eat. Like, don't you have friends that you just go out to eat with? That's
not
always
me?
What you do? Yeah.
You think I care about food?
I think you do care about food.
I don't. Like what I ate last night, that thing you told me not to
chicken?
Eat.
Did you eat that?
Yeah, I ate that. Yeah. Clean me out.
I told you not to eat it. Why did you
eat
that?
I thought of you last night.
I thought of you
at like 4 in the morning and my stomach was doing that weird like... And it's doing like alien. I thought something's gonna fly out of my stomach, like out of the skin. No, I ate it. I thought, well, I just cook it really hard. No, listen, the idea of having 5 friends. I know that they've done a study that you can't really have any more than 120 people that you know. That is the amount that used to be like in a tribe with about 120. And then anything beyond that didn't count. But 120 in the group and then 5 people that would become your friends. I think at this point in my life, I probably have, now that I've moved here to Cle Elum, I have more good friends than I have had in my prior years.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends, but I don't really consider them. I mean, I probably have 6 or 7 very close friends that I talk to all the time, that I'm always in contact with. But beyond that, you know, and when you're a couple, you've got the friends that like he's friends with, you know, and then you're kind of sort of friends, but not really, but you socialize with them, but you don't really keep up with them, but you go out to dinner with them because it's a couple thing and all of that. So you got all those people to deal with.
Right. Your wife likes the gal and then you're stuck with the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't like pizza as much as you do.
As much as you like golf. Or bowling or popcorn.
Wow.
Or bad chicken. I told you not to eat that.
Or like an ice cone or whatever, you know, a
snow cone.
Like snow. See, I don't even know. I don't know food. A snow cone.
Can I have an ice cone, please? That would be a cone with ice in it.
No, a snow cone. You know, when you put the tiger's blood or whatever it is.
Yeah, I know what a snow cone is, but mean ice cream or a snow cone?
God. Really? Okay, you know, I'm not your friend anymore.
We call them raspas.
Huh?
Raspa.
What's a raspa? A friend?
No, it's a snow cone.
Are you just making words up?
No, that is actually a word in the Spanish language. It's called...
Here we go.
It's a raspa.
Now we're doing Spanish.
I'm sorry. I could do German, too.
Okay, what is it in German?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Write to us. Please write to us. They used to say at Pesumpsic Summer Camp, you got to write them to get them. The letters. Sherry.
Got to write them to get them.
Because the guy would come in with mail call, and you'd be laying there in your bunk, and then he would pass out the letters. I never got any letters. I was always staring at him like, well, I didn't get a letter. And you go, you got to write them to get them, Curly. So I was like, my parents don't care about me. And all these kids got all these letters with gum and
care
money
packages.
And stuff. Care packages, yeah. I don't know why you're fascinated by this story. What is it about this story that you really like? Is it the sweet justice of the whole thing? Is the fact that the police come and find the guy? Was he also laying in the shallow grave?
No, he was. I'm not exactly sure who called 911. They don't really make that entirely clear, but this is what happened. The medics arrived and they find this guy on the ground. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's dead. He's had a heart attack.
By the way, that's normally where medics find most people, on the ground.
He's on the ground. Yeah. He's dead. While they're investigating this, they find a second body in a freshly dug grave.
Yeah.
They identify her as his girlfriend. She didn't die of a heart attack. She died of strangulation. So what happened was he had strangled her in the house, bound her, wrapped her in trash bags, then took her out to the yard, I guess, and was digging her grave. And that's when he keeled over from a heart attack.
Did they say shallow grave? Because they always say shallow grave. You have to assume if somebody's doing something like that, they're not going to go 6 feet down and then, 48 inches over and then 84 across.
No, I assumed that he probably, if they found her kind of in the yard, the grave was pretty shallow because he hadn't finished the job. He died. Oh, well.
So he had a heart attack from trying to put her in, trying to dig the hole and throw her in there.
Yeah, he was only 60 years old. She was 65, but I guess, he had a busy day. I mean, he was doing a lot there, strangling her and then binding her and then putting her in trash bags and then digging the grave and doing all that. So just
how uncomfortable if they both end up there at the gates with Peter, right? And there she is. She's still in her garbage bag and everything. And then he pops into vision too. And he's like, oh, hey there.
And she's like,
yeah. Well, oh yeah. Well, this is weird. Look, how about this?
Yeah. Well, what Johnny, lately.
What a quinky dink. And Peter's like, you guys know one another? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, this is my wife. Yeah. I bought her those garbage bags.
And she's like, wow. Oh, well, look who showed up.
Oh, here he is. Oh, Mr. Shallowgrave himself.
I told you.
And then they start fighting right there in front of Peter.
Right.
All right, you two, break it up. Now, what happened here? Yeah. Wow, that is, you got to come up with be in better shape, I guess, if you're going to try to plan something like that. But the weird thing is, he must have known while he was digging, he's like, holy moly, I'm having a heart attack here, right? And then at that point, he would need to try to get back into the house or something else or try to, cover the hole back up again. But nope, there they are, both up there.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he panicked, right, because he started having heart trouble, and then he kept working because he's like, oh, man, if I survive this heart attack, I'm going to be good for the murder, right? So then he just starts to cover it up, and, and then he overextended himself that way.
Yeah.
We're a couple of mystery writers, aren't we?
I got them already in heaven. Why I put them in heaven? Because I got to have them meeting again.
Well, she's okay. I mean, we don't know what she did, but he wouldn't be in heaven.
Wait a minute. What she did? Like, she deserved to be in the bags in the shallow grave?
Well, no, but we don't know what the total of her life was, right? I mean, that's what you do, is you get judged on everything. So, we don't know what happened in the life. Yeah.
He could have, because you can, at the last minute, say you're sorry for all your sins, and then one-way ticket to heaven. So as he was, like, clutching his heart and was losing consciousness, he could have been like, I'm sorry!
Right. Repented. Ooh,
wow.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
We got it all figured out.
We worked that story out, didn't we, huh?
That's why I liked it, because I knew it would take a while.
Oh, my. Mickey, I feel sorry for you. You just have to keep coming in the middle. Well, you got to keep coming in the middle of this nonsense.
I find it very hilarious sometimes.
Oh,
I love it. No, you're good. Right. It's good stuff.
She said sometimes.
Sometimes. I heard that too. Yeah, okay.